Hey, good morning, church. Pastor Dale here. It's good to be with you. I hope that you are doing well, and I'm glad that we can be together for a remote worship this morning. Hey, if you're watching online today, we'd love to hear from you, who you are, who you're with, if you've got a group assembled and watching, where you're watching from. It's great to see folks letting us know they're watching from different states. It's good to be with all of you today. Hey, you know, we find ourselves in kind of the middle of a new normal with this social isolating that we're all going through. And I think what we realize very quickly is it's disrupted our important rhythms, the important rhythms of our life. And for most of us who have been able to get out and about, one of those most important rhythms is being here in this space, being able to sit in pew or chair and to sing together. Or to just be still and let worship wash over us. I just want to say the good news is that we will have that again. God is good, and we will have that again. And that we are still the church. We're still called to live the way of Jesus as we can every day. So I hope worship today will encourage you to continue to practice those important rhythms of life with Christ. A few things I want you to be aware of. Pastor Jane, along with other outreach volunteers, continue to make food in our kitchen, and that is distributed across the street at Veterans Park a couple of times a week in the form of some bag lunches that go out to folks who need that food, and that's part of the larger effort around town that continues to help those who are in need. So I'm glad that we can continue to do that part. Online classes are continuing to gather. Our adult Christian Ed director, Donna, would love you to know that there's several opportunities available. There is a Friday morning class, Covenant Disciples, a couple classes on Sunday mornings as well. And you can access those through the church website. Just go to the Connect and Grow link and click on that, and you'll find the information that you need there. Or call the church office during the day, and we'll see if we can help you out. Our children and youth are having a good time together online, the meaningful, fun things. It's great to see some of the shenanigans that the kids are doing on the Facebook page and some of the fun they're having with that. I also want to give a shout out to some of the folks who are helping us assemble this worship service on a weekly basis. Our core communication team, Kim Birch, Amber Hassler, for gathering and assembling, pulling all that video together so we can have this worship opportunity. I think of Tom Bartlett pulling together lyrics for the songs and the hymns that you see online. Jeff Cobb and Tom Barra doing their part to gather music for us each week. And Tom Atkinson pulling together photo slideshows. Those are those fun photos that you're seeing at the beginning of worship each week. I think a few of us have seen some of ourselves in our younger days as well. We'll also mention that our bishop will be releasing some new guidelines for churches as we seek to re-enter into more in-person gathering and opportunities. We don't have a lot of information on that yet. And for now, the best thing, as you're able, is to stay home and stay safe. But when we get new information, we'll be sharing that with you. Lastly, I want to mention that it's been our tradition here at Central to have Holy Communion on the first Sunday of the month. And so next week, we will offer a remote version of the Lord's Supper. And we invite you to participate in that, particularly by having some juice or bread, cracker, with you as you worship next week, a week from today. Listen now to this call to worship that's based on Psalm 100. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Remember that our God is a holy God, the one who made us, the one who sustains us, the one whose spirit lives in us. Let us enter this experience with thanksgiving and come into God's presence with praise. For God is good, with unfailing love that lasts forever and faithfulness that extends to all generations. Let's worship together.
Thank you.
Hey kids, Pastor Dale here. It's good to be with you for a few minutes for children's time this morning. I sure have been missing you and being with you in person, but I'm glad we can have a couple minutes here. Hey, I'm in a kind of a neat place in the building. I wonder if you know what room this is. Have you ever been up here? It's a pretty cool place, pretty messy also, as you can see. I hope your bedroom's not as messy as this room is. That would not be good. But there's a lot of fun stuff up here also, as you can see. Some things that you maybe have enjoyed and had fun with, maybe at Vacation Bible School or some of the camps or picnics that we've had. I'm looking around here, these fun clomper shoes. Did anybody get to use those, huh? Or, hey, golf. I can't wait to get on the golf course this summer. Some fun hoops. Hey, some swimming noodles. Have you been? Well, you haven't been swimming yet, but hopefully this summer you'll be able to go swimming. And then there was this, what was his name? With a river rat character. Well, he probably wasn't a rat, but anyways, from Vacation Bible School. Lots of fun stuff. And, you know, I think right now, this stuff reminds us of all the fun we've had with our friends at church and some of the fun we're missing, right? We would love to be together and doing fun things like this. But I want you to know that those days are coming again and we're going to have fun. You're going to have fun with your friends again. But this is a great time to remember something else. As you look back on the wall there, you'll see a picture of Jesus, don't you? And that's a great reminder that even though we're going through kind of a challenging time, that Jesus is with us. You know, Jesus said, "Let the children come unto me." He knew how to have fun. He even would sit a child on his lap and give them a blessing. And so today's a good day to remember that Jesus is with us. His Spirit fills us with his love so we can love others and enjoy loving others. So while we look forward to having some fun times together in the future, just know that God is with you and loves you, and we're going to be okay. And we love you too and think about you and pray for you. You take care and enjoy your families, and God bless. Hey, friends, as we move into some time of prayer together this morning, I think we're reminded of how so often our prayer is framed through that lens of this pandemic that we're going through the needs, the issues that it creates in our lives. But we also want to connect with God around those ongoing needs and those ongoing praises that we have that are a part of everyday life. And so through that lens and with that spirit, I would offer this prayer of petition, this prayer of the people for you and with you this morning. Please pray with me. Loving God, these days of illness, isolation, and worry are wearing on all of us. The important rhythm of our lives has been disruptive, and sometimes it feels like we're losing our way. Remind us that you, O God, in Christ and in power of Holy Spirit, are the way and are our guiding presence. If we feel like we've lost our way, fill us with your Easter hope. If we are ill, strengthen us. If we are tired, fortify us. If we are anxious, help us to remember the words of our Lord who said, "Do not worry about your life. Look at the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. God cares for them and even more so cares for you." And so help us, God, not to worry, not to stockpile treasures from markets in the barns of our security, but to trust you and fix our hearts on your grace. Do not let our fear cause us to overlook the needs of others more vulnerable than us. Show us how to love anew each day. Help us, God, to always hold fast to what is good, to see good in others, and to remember that there is just one world, one hope, one everlasting love with baskets of more than enough for everyone. In Jesus, we make this prayer. The one who suffered, died, and was raised to new life, in whom we trust these days and all days, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Now listen to these scriptures about living with hope and love. I will be reading from the prophet Isaiah and from the Gospel of Matthew. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. Matthew 25:37-40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in a prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. This is the word of God. For the people of God, thanks be to God.
Good morning. Christ is risen. And I want to thank you, Noel, for reading those scriptures for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm trying these days to take the long view when it comes to this pandemic waiting, to look for where there's some signs of hope and growth, even in a pandemic. That's why I'm really excited as Dale and Jane and I are going to bring together some messages in this new message series that starts today that we're calling Living Forward. You know, it's good to know that we are not the first people who have experienced a national disaster or who have had business as usual grind to a halt the way many of us are feeling it these last weeks. We're not the first people who have been left wondering how this new normal is going to be replacing the old normal, at least for the time being. Bear in mind, others before us have wondered exactly what we are wondering today. I'm thinking about the flu pandemic that swept across much of the world about a century ago, that have been compared several times to the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. We've heard how some cities back then were very vigilant in calling off large gatherings, while other cities not so much and suffered for that. That was 100 years ago. How about 20 years ago? I'm thinking of the terrorist attack of September 11th, 2001, when the unthinkable happened. Planes flew into buildings. People died in New York and Washington and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Skies stood empty of all air traffic for a number of days, and we slowly accepted that our lives would be forever changed when it came to security. Why, read enough, and we start to see that human beings in every century, in every tribe and land, have had disaster or invasion or pandemic at one time or another shake their reality to the core, leaving them to look for some new signs of hope and a new way to go forward. Well, for just a few minutes this morning, I would like for you to go with me way back in time to yet another people under attack who had to find for themselves a new normal. This one happened in the ancient city of Jerusalem, some six centuries before Christ even shows up on the scene. In this story, it is reported and generally agreed that invaders from Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar swept in like some virus, ransacking the town, the city of Jerusalem. They pillaged all they saw. They even destroyed the temple, uprooting the elite class and taking them into captivity back to Babylon, some 500 miles away. So in the sixth century before Jesus Christ, in ancient Israel, now that would mean all of Jesus' ancestors, okay, the whole country is plunged into a deep crisis of faith because they've lost their great temple in Jerusalem, the place where they thought the very essence of God resided, built by King Solomon way back. Can we appreciate for a moment that for ancient Israel, this was like our 9/11 and virus pandemic all rolled up into one? And worst of all, with the great temple now torn to pieces, the very place they thought God's essence resided, how could they now be God's people in a strange land and with no temple to worship in? They must have felt stunned, depressed, really angry, maybe a bit in denial that this really had happened. Kind of like our world the last 2 months, huh? Oh, please, God. This kind of tragedy happens to other people in other places, not here, not to us. Aren't we the exception? Aren't we your chosen ones? Please, God, anywhere but in our backyard. Okay, loose translation. Yet it turns out that to be human means that we are akin to all humans. And we are not the exception of what will happen to other people. Wow, has this pandemic ever shown us that's true? And even claiming to know God doesn't give us a pass. That is one of the lessons ancient Israel had to learn. And perhaps many of us are learning that same lesson these days. But friends, this is not a downer sermon. There was really good news in the middle of this crisis in Israel, for our God is still able to point us toward life. Even when a disruptive new normal comes crashing down on our heads, even when the economy grinds to a halt, even when bodies succumb to disease, even when our portfolio takes a dive, or we don't know when the government check is going to come in the mail. Even when we have so much time on our hands that we move from anxiety to boredom to blaming to finally, if we're paying attention, we're moved to ask with a new urgency, just what is the meaning of life? The living of a good life. Is God still here when we can't do what we used to do? When our other securities have dried up, at least for the time being? Well, it turns out this is often the very time God can be heard. Do you hear that, friends? Crisis, the world being upended for us, is often the time God can finally be heard. You might even say it's when God does God's best work, inviting us to see that the promised land really never was about the money and comforts and us calling all the shots. No, the promised land is really about loving God and loving neighbor. The two scriptures that we heard Noel read to us a moment ago point us down a path of seeing that a hope-filled life, that's what we're talking about this month, a hope-filled life means to love God in the very act of showing compassion towards someone who is vulnerable. We're going to come back to that. The prophet Isaiah, we heard his one-liner a moment ago there, as he was letting the people know that God was generally pretty displeased with their me-first brand of entitlement. And he drops in the middle of this longer reading this great one-liner that we heard a moment ago for how the people might get on board with God's hope for them again when the prophet says, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. Do you hear? It's all about relationships. Then we have Matthew's gospel, where Jesus in this section has been telling this whole string of parable stories about what it might look like when the reign of God shows up in all its fullness and we have finally bought into creating an alternative world within this world. And he has Jesus saying, then the righteous, which means those who have been listening, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it we saw you sick and in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. In other words, when we invest in and get to know the lives of vulnerable people, only then will we begin to have a deep knowledge of God, since those are the people who God is particularly fond of. It's rather brilliant of God to put it together that way, don't you think? See, the God of the Gospels is saying that showing care for the vulnerable equals the knowledge of God. That's how important it is. This is why Jesus is so clear on that day when he teaches what we've come to know as the greatest commandment, you know, to love God with all you have and to love your neighbor in the way you hopefully are loving yourself. These are twin pillars of living a hope-filled life. Twin pillars that are so entwined they cannot be taken apart. So ancient Israel thought that they were the chosen. And they got rather big-headed about that. But that did not save them from having to live through some hard things. If anything, seeing themselves as the chosen or exceptional is really what got in the way of them seeing the world as God had wanted them to see it. I know whenever I see myself as the exception to the rule, that's when I'm headed for trouble. How about you? You could even look at our history as a nation, as the United States of America, and say that our own national sense of entitlement and chosenness, being the exception, has at times gotten us into trouble as well. So the folks in ancient Israel, who were taken into captivity, into exile, off to a foreign land, God sent prophets along the way to them, one of whom is like Isaiah that we heard earlier. And he sent those prophets to shake them up and wake them up into seeing that God is not done with them yet, and they are not done growing. In fact, it maybe took a crisis for them to unmask their vulnerability so that they could finally start to grow. Do you hear that? Do you think you can grow even in a crisis? Or maybe especially in a crisis? I know those are the places that I have grown. And hey, what we're talking about today can actually be fun and rather exciting. There is a show that's making its rounds online lately on YouTube. I wonder if any of you have seen. It's called Some Good News with John Krasinski. I even brought a little image of what the show intro looks like. It's a very clever show, and it's really episodes of people who are just reaching out to each other through the weeks of this pandemic. Very uplifting. Often it's strangers just doing kindnesses for each other. So I was watching one episode this week, and I was so moved by the story of a girl named Coco. Coco is a 15-year-old girl in California who has just finished her last treatments of chemotherapy, the last installment. And her parents are driving her home from the hospital in the car there, and unbeknown to her, they're filming all this on their phone or on their camera there in the car. And as the family turns into their neighborhood, suddenly they see all of their neighbors and relatives lining the streets, all of them in their cars, some of them standing on their cars, with shouts and banners and balloons, all of them congratulating young Coco for making it through her rigorous chemotherapy and for her claiming life and for the good future that's before her. It is a beautiful scene. Oh, they keep their social distance all the while, all those neighbors, but they're there reaching out to this beautiful girl who is vulnerable in a time when we all know we are vulnerable. And it feels like the gospel being played out in this neighborhood. I commend you to see the episode. It was quite inspiring. Might that be a gift that comes to us in this pandemic? That we know we're all vulnerable, and yet we all have something to give to other vulnerable neighbors. Not long ago, I had a conversation with a friend, really a rather intelligent friend, who told me that he has come to believe in the philosophy of the survival of the fittest, and Ayn Rand style, you know, that some people out there just can't make it. And sorry, but they just can't make it. And it's not for the rest of us to make it so that they can make it. The weak die off, even in pandemics. Survival of the fittest. It's a school of thought called objectivism, and it's more popular than any of us would care to admit these days. But friends, that is not what the gospel says. In fact, Jesus taught that our abundant life will be found only when identifying with someone who is struggling, and then letting others lift us up when we are struggling. This is our spiritual work, connecting those dots. School is in session. This week, I asked Jane, who runs the outreach ministry here at Central, what's a way that we can care for our vulnerable neighbors and value them, even in these days as the overnight shelter is closed and many outreach guests are camping in the woods under snow lately? She told me that street outreach workers who help the homeless are asking folks in Traverse City to call up our county commissioners and encourage us all to find some new creative ways to find enough housing for people who experience homelessness. Because, you know, no surprise, those who are trying to overcome an addiction almost never can accomplish that when housing is not secure for them. I think this is but one example of what the way forward through this pandemic and beyond it looks like when we are vigilant and being aware of who is struggling, who is vulnerable around us. It's actions like this that I think keep us awake, keep us alive when we make that bridge between loving God and loving neighbor as if our own lives depended on it. This is the good news of the gospel. And friends, I'm coming to see that through a pandemic like what we're in the midst of, maybe one of our best chances to see how true this is. Amen. Now, as we worship together in community, even in dispersed community, we have a chance after hearing the word to respond to the word and enjoy gratitude and generosity. And I thought I would frame it this way, that for the way we respond to the good news this week with our time and with our treasure, that it will work really hard at connecting those two truths of love of God and love of neighbor. Thank you.
everyone. I just want to thank you for your generosity and supporting the church, helping us really thrive during this challenging time, and to offer that blessing upon our gifts and upon us as well, that they and we might be that means of grace of Jesus Christ in all the ways needed in the world. May it be so. Hey, I want to send you out today with an important reminder that we are Easter people. We're in this Easter season. That means we are people of the risen Savior, people of the resurrection life. And that means we're a joyful people also, a people who live with a sure and certain hope that God in Christ is bringing new life everywhere and to all people. Go and live in this hope this week and know yourself blessed as you do. The peace of Christ goes with you. Amen.